series tonight that we have been doing. Matter of fact, Pastor Debbie spent several months talking about prayer. How many know that prayer is one of the four legs of ministry here? In other words, evangelism, discipleship, prayer, and healing are four legs of what we call the legs of the ministry that we build everything around. Therefore, topics are always subject to be around those areas. And so one of the things that we've done since the beginning of the year is a series, If My People. And it's been a prayer series. Pastor Debbie, as you know, centered around the part of prayer of corporate prayer, the prayer of intercession. And it's so important as individuals we pray, but know how to pray together as a church, how to assemble together. I thank God, first of all, tonight as well, for all the prayer teams here and all those that are committed to prayer. We should put our hands together for all of them and let them know we appreciate them and that ministry of service to here. And so what I've done in the last few weeks is taken the practical side of prayer or just looking at some other things in prayer. And so as believers, it is God's will for us to know how to pray effectively. That's God's will for every person. And that means praying effective means to know how to get answers to prayer. And the good news is, in a growing church or at a church that's healthy, you're going to have people that are seasoned, that know how to get answers to prayer, but you're going to also have people that knowing how to pray and get answers to prayer almost seems overwhelming and foreign to them. But we don't want it to be that way. We don't want it to be hard, difficult, or any of those things. This is why you teach on it. Because one of the things that people, when people start seeing that God hears and answers the prayer, it's exciting because it produces fruit. And so praying effectively means we know how to get answers to our prayer. We actually bear fruit in prayer. And by that, God can be seen and glorified. We find Jesus talked about this in John. Why don't you turn there? John chapter 15 and verse 7 and 8. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. That implies that by his word abiding in you, you're not going to ask something apart from his will for your life and expect it to be answered. So if you abide in him, and his word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Notice verse 8 says this, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. How many know that true disciples should know how to pray, and true disciples bear fruit, matter of fact, much fruit for the glory of God? So effective prayer, we found out, is based upon our confidence in God hearing and answering our prayer. It's not hoping. Effective prayer is not hoping. It's not wishing. But it's confidence. It's knowing. It's believing you've received when you prayed. And that confidence comes and based upon your knowledge of the Word of God. And so let's look again in 1 John chapter 5 tonight in verse 14 and 15. See, faith has a definite source. It's always the Word of God. It's not something invisible. It's actually, source is always the Word of God. It's definite. It's something that we know that God has said. And so this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we've asked anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears what we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So we should know how to get our prayers answered, but we should also be aware that, so in other words, in here tonight, that we should know how that faith plays a part in us getting all our prayers answered. In other words, faith in God's word, just like it says right here. If we know that we ask what His will is, we know that we have the desire or the petitions are granted to us by God. So faith has a definite source. It's the Word of God. But we also know how faith comes, and it comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so that's Romans 10 and verse 17. So we should know how to get our prayers answered, but in doing this, we should also be aware as we grow in the Lord of what I'm calling prayer killers. Amen. In other words, things that will try to stop us, first of all, from ever praying. And then secondly, being effective in prayer or cutting our prayers off, not getting them answered. And so what we want to do tonight is pick up from tonight where we left off last week. And last week was the first week that we actually began talking about some prayer killers. And so tonight is just going to be part number two. So last week, I realized that a lot of times people aren't here. I'm going to briefly just mention what we actually talked about. And so the first prayer killer we addressed last week was misunderstanding faith. In other words, not knowing what faith really is. If we understand we must receive everything in prayer by faith, then if we don't know what real faith is, then we're at a disadvantage. And real faith is just simply taking God at His word. Isn't that right? Real faith is simply not only knowing what God said, but taking what God's word said as true and making it personal. Amen. But we also need to know how faith comes. And we just mentioned a minute ago, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so if we don't know those two things, if we have a misunderstanding about faith, we don't understand what it is, if we don't understand how it comes, then our prayers will be ineffective. And it will become our misunderstanding of faith, since we receive everything in prayer by God through faith. Then it means that if we're not praying in faith, we don't understand faith, that's a prayer killer. And we're going to be ineffective in prayer. Prayer has to be more than just words or vain repetition that Jesus warned us about. Write it down in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. He said, through all the religions of the world pray. They prayed to whoever they call their God. But Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, He warned us that prayer has to be more than just words, even though prayer does have words. It needs to be more than being vain repetition. In other words, thinking by the multitude of our words that God was just going to hear that. The more we talk, more God's going to hear. No, He hears and answers what His word said He'll answer. And when your faith is connected in that, that's your job is to receive. God's job is to, and your job is to believe and receive. God's job is to perform. Amen. And so effective prayer exercises faith. For faith does believe. Faith receives. It doesn't hope. It doesn't just wish. But it believes what God said He promised in His word He will do for you and I. Amen. So this is why I talked about the importance. We all know the importance, or we should know the importance of faith. We spent all last week about that. So let's tonight pick up on the second prayer killer that I want to address. And that is condemnation. Condemnation is a silent killer. I'm going to say that again. Condemnation is a prayer killer because it keeps us from praying in faith or in confidence that God hears and answers our prayer. When we feel condemned, it's opposite of faith. Condemnation causes us to shrink from God, not run to God. Condemnation doesn't give us confidence, it gives us cowardice. In other words, because of fear of rejection and all the things that it brings that we're going to talk about tonight, I believe it is one of the major prayer killers that every believer must learn to overcome. And it is a silent killer because of the thoughts and suggestions that accompany it. We all have a mind and we all think thoughts. And I'm letting you hear tonight to know that not all thoughts that you think come from your mind or come from God. But no matter who they come from, that means where could they come from? Well, thoughts could come from what you hear someone else say, but also there's a silent enemy called Satan and evil spirits that whisper suggestions and thoughts to your mind that can even make you, if you're not aware of that, to make you think that's your thought. But the scripture teaches us that whether it's somebody's suggestion, your thought, or the devil's thought, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we're to cast it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 4 and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare, write it down, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So one of the jobs that you and I have is the ongoing, the continual job of casting down imaginations and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we funnel all our thought life through the Word of God. This is why it's important we know the Word. This is important why we live in the Word. And we judge everything by the Word, because what doesn't pass the Word test needs to be rejected. Cast down, that means destroyed. Put under your feet, rejected in your life. And the truth is, these thoughts and suggestions that accompany wrong thoughts many times are condemning thoughts. We all know that. If we're honest, we face those things. Amen. So condemnation works to fill our hearts and minds, which designed to produce fear, guilt, and shame, which robs you and I of our confidence in God, and instead actually causes us to reject God, not want to draw near to Him, but actually push God away. And in the end, it leaves us with feelings of unworthiness, inadequacy, and rejection. And let me tell you something, there's plenty of Christians that have feelings of unworthiness, they have feelings of inadequacy, and feelings of rejection. And I can tell you, it's masked by condemnation that the devil will bring against you and I. The accusations, the things that are said that remind us of our past. This is why it's important for us to know the source of condemnation is never God, but is the devil. And we should resist it. Matter of fact, we must resist it. In order to be successful, James 4:7 says that we're to submit ourselves, therefore, unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That implies this: if we do not resist the devil, he will not flee. He will make a camp upon our enemy. What he's trying to do is gain access to our mind, because he knows he controls your thought life will control your life in reality. And so this is why he pumps you and I with condemnation. Write it down. Revelation 12:10 calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. So he's an accuser. He's always working to tell you something other than God says that you are. He tells you how he views you. He tells you all your mistakes, all the things that are, instead of going to pick you up, tear you down. We have to be wise to this. And we have to reject those things that would come against us this way. Satan is our accuser. And he knows that condemnation is a weapon that he has wielded against humanity for the last 6,000 years, beginning with the garden. Just think about how Adam and Eve hid from God after in close fellowship with God before sin ever entered. They were in close fellowship with God, but the moment they sinned, they hid from God, and condemnation came with the fall. With sin came the guilt, the shame, the inadequacy, the unworthiness, the eyes open to what God didn't intend for us to be or to see. And that's apart from Him and walking in close fellowship with. And so all of us, if we're honest, we have felt the feelings of unworthiness. We have felt the feelings of inadequacy or rejection. Maybe you're here tonight and you're feeling those things. The truth is, God knows and God wants to help you and take care of that. You know, and the greatest way to overcome it is know through teaching. Now, let's say, for instance, we could come here tonight, and by the Spirit of God, God knows, and God calls that out. Say that somebody's here tonight, just feel condemned. And we could pray, and we could break that by the Spirit of God. And we may even do that at the end of the service tonight. But just know this, that's wonderful that the power of Jesus' name and the Word of God by the Spirit of God can identify that, help people, and deliver people. But you know what? I want you to not only be free when you're at that altar and walk back to your seat, but when you get back into your car and you get home tonight and those thoughts return, I want you to know how to deal with it. So if I can teach you, see, it's one thing to get you free. It's another thing to teach you how you can stay free. And this is why the teaching of the Word of God is so valuable and so important to destroy what Satan has done and empower you to learn how to exercise your authority. And in exercising your authority, you're going to learn to resist the devil. You're going to resist condemnation. Because if you understand that's not God talking to you, then why you listen to it anyway? So many times I've had people say, well, you know, the devil told me this, that, and they're in fear. And sometimes I just have to stop them and say, wait a minute, you just told me the answer. I said, if you know the devil is saying that he's a liar, why are you listening to him? Stop listening to him. It's that simple. But I realize that the feelings that come with condemnation, the guilt that comes with that, and once again, the feelings of negativity, all those things can be so overwhelming that if we're not careful, we live by those things. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. We feel trapped. We feel inadequate because the devil is reminding you of your past, which we're going to talk about in just one moment, your mistakes. Well, I want to remind you tonight, when the devil tells you about your past, you need to remind him about his future. It's called the lake of fire. Praise God. And you ain't going there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he is. So let's talk about this one moment. It's so important. Because Satan, as our accuser, knows condemnation about our past, our mistakes, and our sins. When they enter in and come against us, they actually spiritually paralyze many believers, even making it impossible for them to pray effectively. Because in order to pray effectively, you have to have confidence, not condemnation. And if you are condemned, let me just say it like this. The reason why more people do not pray is because they're not confident that God hears and answers them. You know why? Because the devil's been talking to them about their past or their inadequacies of all the things that you haven't done just right. Now, let me just tell you this. Prayer is important. Coming to church is important. All those things are important, but all those things, even though they're important, they're not to cause God to love you more. He loves you as much as he can ever love you. All those things that we just talked about are for your benefit. Coming to church is for your benefit, not to cause God to love you more or to do something special for you. Praying and reading the Word is not to make God love you or do something more for you. It's actually for your benefit, so that you can actually know what God has said. That produces faith in your heart so you can actually receive from God. Matter of fact, this is the beautiful thing about grace. Grace means unmerited favor. And did you know Christianity is different than any other religion in the world? Brother Bruce, you're here tonight. You preach all over the world. And, you know, you face many different religions. But one of the things that's different with Christianity is it's called grace. and it's unmerited favor. Every other religion of the world has some type of doing or merit that enables them in their mind to access heaven. It's based upon, in other words, what I'm saying is, it's based upon works in order to get to heaven. Christianity is exactly opposite. It's based upon a relationship with Almighty God. One that we neither deserve or can earn is given by God's unmerited favor. It means you don't earn it. It means you don't deserve it. Not only do you not deserve it, but you can't earn it. It has to be you humbly coming before Him and just simply accepting that gift and then having a relationship with Him, and from that place realize that everything else comes the same way. By grace through faith, you don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do all those things. All those things are right, but those things can't, the things that we talked about are right things, but those things can't make you right with God. Cannot make God love you more. It shows you love God. It shows you know God. It's for your benefit. Works, yes. Yes, are the fruit of our salvation, not the root of our salvation. We should have works, but it's not to make God love us or to get us into heaven. It's because we realize that we have a relationship with God and we're so in love with Him that we understand that one day, because of what we do for God, we're going to be rewarded for all those things. And we should not be ashamed about it, because God said it, we didn't. And even then, it's not like God rewards us based upon our faithfulness and our obedience to Him. And all these things that God has done is by God's grace. All we have to do is know it, that produces faith, and us receive and walk in it. Hallelujah. And it's so different. It's so different than the way that many times believers live. They live under this condemnation. They never arrive. They see, they hear me even talk about, me getting up at 3:30 in the morning and praying. Let me just tell you something. If you, I'm just doing what, in obedience to God, what God has told me to do. And the things I share with you is not to blow my horn, but let you know how to stretch. And there's things that, listen to God. I know when Pastor Debbie and I worked 15 years as a meat manager. She was in the shipyard for 20 years. And you know what? You've heard us say, we got up early. You know what? Not 3 hours early, but we got up early. Praise God. And we pray. Listen, if you will honor God in the things, in the ways that He said, and little ways there, and then how many know that God can get you as much then as He can now? He requires more for me now than He did back then. But I can tell you, every day I went to work, you've heard me say, not only did I have my 3x5 index cards across my light there that I was learning scripture by, but I also had a notebook there that not only took orders, special orders in, but if God said something to me in my heart that day, I wrote that down. And God always did. God was faithful to talk to me about things. Things that helped me, things that grew me, things that I needed. Because if you will just live like He lives in you and He's walking with you, then He wants to talk to you all throughout the day. And it's not based upon you being a preacher, it's based upon you being a believer and just position yourself. He knows where you're at. He makes house calls. Matter of fact, he's a permanent indweller. Amen. And so the good news is, if we would just learn to just be obedient in the small ways and every day just walk with Him. Don't just have a compartmentalized time that, it's like, I've got to spend an hour with God here, and then you just live the rest of your day without Him. No, take Him all throughout your day. Now, I believe we do need to have set times that helps us. But it doesn't make God love us anymore. And so a lot of times you hear, things, testimonies should inspire us, not condemn us. okay? And so, but what I know what the devil will do, will sit on your shoulder and say, well, you know what? Look at you. You know, you promised God you're going to read through the Bible this year, and you're not. And, you know, he'll remind, where did that thought come from? I can tell you where it came through. It came through the condemner, the accuser, the devil. And he will try to do everything to keep you from praying, but he also knows that if you do pray and you're in condemnation instead of confidence, then you're not going to get your prayers answered as well. You could say this, condemnation is faith's kryptonite because it works to rob, weaken, or kill your faith. Everybody remember Superman? Okay. Superman's your kryptonite. And what did it do? Well, it robbed, it weakened, or killed his strength. And so we could say condemnation is faith's kryptonite. This is why I'm addressing it tonight. And it's wonderful that you're living here tonight perfectly, free from condemnation, free from guilt, free from shame, but everybody ain't. And if we're doing our job, if you're free, then if you're doing your job, you're going to take this to somebody else, because there are going to be people that you meet. I meet them all the time. You can just look at all over them. They have no confidence before God because their lifestyle is not living for God, or things have happened, and it robs their confidence. And they live in condemnation. We need to know these things so we can help people be freed from this kryptonite of condemnation. This is why condemnation is a strategy that the devil uses against us. And you can always be sure of this. Whenever there's a condemning sentence, in other words, a condemning sentence against you, you can be sure of this. A condemning sentence with no way out. In other words, you've done wrong, you dirty dog. And it's not leading you back to Christ, but in a deeper place of darkness, you can always be sure the devil is picking on you. Because condemnation that comes from the devil not only tells you what you've done wrong, but it never gives you a way out. That condemning sentence means that it's surely of the devil. Now here's something else that we need to understand. That when we sin or miss it, which we all can. Thank you, Pastor Debbie. Amen. We all can. Praise God. If and when we do, here's something we need to understand. Our own hearts can condemn us. So let's talk about that for a minute. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. Turn there with me. This is important because we know that the devil, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. He can bring condemnation. But here's something else we have to learn as believers. That our own hearts, when we sin and miss it, can condemn us. There's a reason why, and we're going to talk about that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things." So notice here, our hearts can condemn us. So let me explain the difference between your heart condemning you and the devil condemning you, because we need to know the difference. We have a conscience. You better be thanking God you do. It's God given. We all have one. And it's within our spirits or our hearts. When I say hearts, I'm not talking about our physical ticker here. I'm talking about the heart of man or the spirit of man. We are spirit. We possess a soul. We live in a body. It is the voice of our spirit. Our conscience is the voice of our spirits. It's in our hearts, our spirit. And it gives us ability. It's powerful. It's God-given. It's given us the ability to know right from wrong. You better be glad. It's a God-given ability to know right from wrong. Our own heart will smite or condemn us. This is what the scripture says, letting us know we've missed it or done wrong. But its job, listen, its job, your conscience's job, the right way of it is to let us know it's time to repent. You've done something wrong. It's time to repent and get it right. It's time to right the wrong. so we are forgiven and can have confidence again before God. So if we miss it, we don't stay hours and days and months and years in that place of condemnation.
I know well that the devil can talk to you just like your spirit can talk to you. And you know if you live for God, you know when you've done wrong. And if you're married, you have plenty of opportunities to do wrong. And whether you're married or not, you still have plenty of opportunities to do wrong. But that doesn't mean we have to. But the point that I'm making is, if we've done wrong, the devil will condemn us. And he'll give a condemning sentence with no way out. You dirty dog. You're evil. Look at you. You some Christian you are. You're some hot stuff. You go to church. You ain't nothing but a hypocrite. You're this. You're that. And you're everything but a child of God to the devil. And all he wants you to be is a doormat of his lies. And make you feel about this big. That's the difference between your spirit. When you've done wrong and your spirit condemns you or convicts you, it smites you, you just simply know, that was not right. That was not right. That, yes, it should be a guilty feeling. If you just curse somebody out as a Christian, there should be some kind of feeling to let you know, hello, you just did wrong. And it's there, it's your conscience, and it should be there. It's for your protection. It's pointing you that's wrong, but it doesn't leave you there. It tells you, points you back to God and calls you to repentance so that you can get it right, so you can get that behind you and move forward with confidence instead of condemnation. And you just as well realize this, there's never going to be come a time that you are never going to have to ask God to forgive you until you go to heaven, because you will miss it. That doesn't give you the right to miss it, or doesn't mean that you're going to miss it more and more. It's just the excuse to sin. We should be sinning less now as believers than we ever sinned. But you will miss it. And when we miss it, our hearts will tell us. And we have to get that right. First of all, we got to get it right with God. And then, if necessary, we got to get it right with the person we did wrong to. If we did wrong to somebody, we need to get it right with them if necessary. Praise the Lord. So this is important that let us know that God wants us forgiven so we can have confidence before God again. Now let's read these two verses together, verse 20 and 21 of 1 John chapter 3. Let's read this together, verse 24. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts to know all things. Isn't that good? Now this is positive. See, this is the positive side of this, because this ain't negative. If your heart condemns us, then we, verse 20, put it back, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. In other words, God knows what you did, but he's greater than that. We're to run to him and not from him, because he's going to forgive us if we repent. This is why 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, God's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Now, look at verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence before God. See, this is why it says that God knows all things. God knows what you did wrong, so we run to him and get it right. Why? So we can have confidence before God. It's not, listen, it didn't take God by surprise that you missed it again. But he sure appreciates you getting it right so he can bless you and you can have confidence, because that's how you're going to receive everything. And it's not you just receiving everything for you. It's God wants you to have his highest and his best. Praise the Lord. Let's read this from the New Living Translation, how it says in verse 20 and 21. It says, if we feel guilty, anybody else feel guilty before? Sure we have. God is greater than our feelings. Aren't you glad God is greater than our feelings? That means you can't live by how you feel. God is greater than our feelings. So in other words, well, I just don't feel forgiven, Pastor. Get over it. God is greater than you. Did God say that he's forgiven you? Well, yeah. Then forget about how you feel. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to shake us up.
Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and knows everything. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, see, dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, then we can come to God with boldness. So this simply means when that feeling of guilt comes, don't let the devil condemn you. Let it be, if you evaluate it. If you did something wrong, your heart's telling you that so you can get it right. So you can return to God and ask Him to forgive you. He cleanses you, and then now you have confidence again before God, before man, and in life. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because God never called us to live in condemnation, but live in confidence. But we have to know how to address condemnation. Hallelujah. I hope that helped. That didn't hurt you. God doesn't want us to be condemned, but to have confidence before Him. If you can be sure of this, if you are dealing with condemnation, listen to what I'm going to say. If you're dealing with condemnation, what you're not, how you don't measure up, if you still remember in your past and the things, after you've gotten them right with God in your heart, then it's the devil picking on you. And you got to resist that. Well, Pastor Chris, is there ever going to be a time that the devil stops condemning or picking on me? No, because that's what he does. And you just have to know his operation, his strategy, and you've got the good news is God's giving you a different strategy. God's given you authority over those things. God's given you the ability to live for Him. And let's talk about that for a moment in closing. And turn with me to Romans chapter 8, maybe one of the greatest verses about condemnation is a very positive one here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, to people, many believers that know the Word of God, if I said the word condemnation, and I said, give me one scripture that it talks about, many believers would give me this verse, and rightfully so, and it because it says it this. Now, let's talk about this one moment in closing tonight. It's very powerful. There is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, I want to address a couple of things here very quickly. Number one, God says there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the part I really want to focus on. And I want to teach you why the Scripture says that. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But then the rest of this verse, I want you to know why the first of the verse says what it says. Once you understand that, that gives us power to walk in that. But it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's walking after the Spirit, in other words, walking after who you are in Christ, that there is no condemnation. But let me tell you something. There's condemnation if you walk in the flesh. There's no way around it. If you live like the devil as a believer, there's going to be condemnation. You can't live any way you want. You can't talk any way you want. You can't do all those things. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to tell you what is condemning you. Your own heart will condemn you on that. And then the devil will chime in. And because you don't do something about what your heart's telling you, then you live in condemnation. But you cannot live the way the world lives and think you're going to have confidence before God, because you're not living in from your position in Christ Jesus. If you walk after the flesh, you'll do things like the flesh does, like adultery, lying, cheating, stealing, hating, cursing, all the types of things, sexual promiscuity, all the things that the dirty list in Galatians chapter 5 said your flesh will do. Your flesh you cannot trust. Because your flesh is not saved. Your hope of for your body is this, that you can renew your mind and present your body as a living sacrifice. And the good news, you can, because of who you are in Christ. But that's walking in the Spirit, walking on who you are in Christ, instead of living by the flesh, living by how we feel, living the way we used to. You know what? We all have those things that we used to do. And that's maybe the greatest thing that young believers have to overcome. Because if they had a lot of vices in their life when they got saved, those vices haven't gone anywhere. The good news is you got power over them now.
You just have to learn the power you have over them, and you can put them to death. They are your enemy, but they don't have to win over you, because in Christ you have the victory. So let's talk about why this could say that those that are in Christ, that everyone in here tonight, as I look over this room tonight, I trust that possibly everyone in here is in Christ. In other words, it means that in Christ means that you are in a relationship because you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are in Christ. That you are Christ. You have a personal relationship with Christ that qualifies for you being in Christ. Christ is in you're in Him, and He's in you. You're in a relationship with Him. This is powerful. It tells us, it gives us an identity. Praise God. And not only gives us an identity, but it gives us an inheritance, and it gives us the power to live this new life. That's what in Christ does. We have to learn that. But notice it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Why does God want there to be no condemnation? So you can have the opposite of that, full confidence in God, full confidence in your relationship, full confidence in prayer, full confidence in what you do for Him. But it's going to come by you knowing that you're in Christ Jesus. Now, Romans 8:1 is good news. No condemnation that them that are in Christ Jesus. Why can we say that? Because condemnation means, listen. Condemnation means to judge or decide against. This word means a condemning sentence, a condemnatory judgment. And the good news is the reason why there's no condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus, because 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus has been judged by Almighty God and sentenced with the sins of the entire world. And that includes yours and mine. And because of our faith in Christ, we're no longer condemned before God, because our sins, which would condemn us and separate us from God, was judged in Christ. That condemnatory sentence was judged in Christ once and for all. And our faith in Christ means that we're no longer condemned before God, because we're in the righteous one. And because we're in Christ, we have become, and because Jesus actually was the one that was judged, He was judged with the sin of the entire world, including yours and mine. And when God raised Him from the dead, that means the penalty and the payment for that sin had been paid for by Christ. That means all the world's sin has been paid for. All it's waiting for us to know it, acknowledge it, and get in Christ so it can be forgiven us and applied entirely to our life. Why? Because God doesn't want us to live in condemnation. He wants us to know we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, because 2 Corinthians, you can write it down, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, He hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And if we're the righteousness of God in Christ, condemnation has no legal grounds in us and no way to have access to us unless we allow the devil to deceive us or we stay in sin and not repent. That's the only way that we could have condemnation in our life. If we allow the devil to condemn us, or we don't repent of the things that we've done wrong and we allow those things to continue in our life, then we will be condemned, because we're walking not after the Spirit but after the flesh. But if we're just walking with God, if we've made Him the Lord of our life, listen, the youngest baby in Christ, the youngest person that has ever made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, the moment you did, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You'll be no more righteous when you get to heaven than you are here when you made Him the Lord of your life. And when we understand that, that gives us confidence and boldness in prayer, and thereby destroy the prayer killer of condemnation from our lives. And we'll want to come to God, and we want to pray. And we understand that our prayers will be effective. I realize this. If you allow the devil to beat you up with condemnation until you get a grip on that, then you won't be that effective because you won't have confidence. But you can be effective. What don't we understand about 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all. All. That means there's no condemning sentence against us. Why don't we believe that and live that way? The only reason we don't is because we listen to the wrong voice. Instead of the voice that would lead us to God and say, just get that right. And then go back to the scripture that says, He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All means all. And God wants you to put the repentance means to turn from and turn to. And if you turn from the sin and put that behind you and you turn to Him, you're no longer looking at the sin, you're looking at Him. And He's saying, not guilty. He's saying, innocent. He's saying, you're in Christ and there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Hebrews 4:16, we close. So we know that the prayer killer of condemnation is gone. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. See, when we have confidence, we come boldly. When we know the righteousness of God in Christ and we're not allowing the condemning thoughts of the enemy to control us, we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We come boldly. Stop living by feelings and living by the reality of the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I just wish I felt confident. Well, what are you saying with your mouth? Well, what do you mean, what am I saying with my mouth? Are you quoting Scripture? Are you calling yourself the righteousness of God in Christ? Are you calling yourself, you're looking in the mirror in the morning and say, God lives in that person? Are you saying, greater is He that's in you than he that is the world? You wake up in the morning and say, hello, Father, I'm a new creature in Christ. Today is going to be a good day. Do you say, well, no, I wouldn't say anything like that. No. Well, that's your problem. That's your problem. That's how you have to start living. It's a new life. Christianity is a life based upon a relationship. And remember relationship. That means every day we're walking with God. And if, remember, it's a grace walk. That means unmerited favor. And you can't earn it. He's given it to us. Enjoy it. Amen. God is good. Father, Betsy, would you help me tonight? Father, we love you tonight. We praise you and we thank you. I pray tonight and declare over the people of God and every person in here tonight that they know the truth and the truth set them free. Thank you that this is helping us to be greater prayers. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for it. Stronger and more confident, not just in our prayer life, but I walk with you. Confidence before you. And I remind it from the writings of E.W. Kenyon that talked about the righteousness of God, us being the righteousness of God in Christ. He said it's the ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt or condemnation. And then he reminded, like I remind everyone in here tonight, that if we can stand before God without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority, then how much more before the devil and the world? Because we do not let the condemning words that have been spoken to us, the thoughts, the accusations, and even the things that we did do wrong, that Father, that you've forgiven us for, no longer haunt us and be a voice. For the voice of our future is not the echo of our past. I pray for both every person in house and online. And I even say this in Jesus' name. There may be someone in here tonight, and you know what? I don't have to know what it is, but that condemning thing that's been going on, I know. Now, I've taught you. Remember, I said I taught you how to deal with it. But I also have been in a place in my life that I just need somebody to pray for me and break it, and then from that place walk it out. So maybe you're here tonight and you say that those condemning things of the devil, the condemnation, I want that gone. I want that out. Yes, Pastor, you taught me, but would you pray for me tonight? Break that condemning power, then I've taught you how to use it, of the authority of God to stand against it. We'll stand with you tonight because you're not alone. Many times people feel alone. They feel inadequate. But that's all that condemnation does. Let that be broken tonight. So tonight, if you're here tonight and you want prayer because of those condemning things of the enemy, I don't have to know what it is. And nobody's judging you about that. It's just you want that gone. Those condemning voices to be done with. Then just know this, we can break its power, and then you'll have to resist anything that comes back. But tonight you say, yep, pray for me. Then I want you to get up out of your seat and come right now. We're going to take a moment. We're going to pray before we go. We'll pray before we go. If it's any